Radio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, Wrestle Talk Radio.
And fragile. It must be Italian.
I think that's this fragile thing.
Oh, yeah.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
You ain't going to find no better tree than this here tree. This here tree is built to last. Ain't no needles coming off this here tree.
TNA.
Okay, now here's a tree. This here is a tree.
That's a little skimpy in the front.
Well, you just put it in the corner.
That means you got a big tree.
Yeah. Hell, this ain't no tree. Now here's a tree. This here is a tree.
And the indie scene.
Get the holidays of the glory.
With your host, Tim Stein. Omega.
What do you want for Christmas, little boy?
My mind had gone blank. Frantically, I tried to remember what it was I wanted. I was blowing and blowing it.
Come on, kid. How about a nice football?
Football? Football? What's a football? Without conscious will, my voice squeaked out.
Football. Okay, get him out of here.
A football? Oh, no. What was I doing? Wake up, stupid. Wake up. No.
No, no.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Mace.
What's the matter? What you crying for?
Daddy's gonna kill Ralphie.
Lindsay Ward.
You're full of beans and so's your old man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Says who?
Says me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I double dare you.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
I triple dog dare you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and we are here to wish everyone a merry non-denominational festive time period.
Wow.
Trying to be inclusive here. For the rest of us.
Yes, yes. Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, and to our atheist friends in the crowd, happy Tuesday. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network. Joining me on this festive edition of the show, we have Lindsay.
Bah humbug.
You had to go there.
Somebody has to be Mace.
God damn it, she stole my line. She stole my line!
Well, think faster.
It didn't have your name on it.
I was going to say, put your name on it next time and I won't steal it.
Have you tried using staples?
He is the Scrooge of the network. And it's not to say your bitter disposition, Tim. I mean, you're cheap.
Does this mean he's going to be haunted by ghosts of Australians past?
Ironic that you should say that, Lindsay.
Yes, yes, yes. And the, yes, and of course, we're joined by Tim Stein.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why don't I just leave now? You let you guys do the show by yourselves.
No.
I'm missing Iron Man.
Welcome back to 2007?
Called Netflix.
2008, and it's not Netflix, it's something else.
It's called Internet Streaming.
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact. It is something called Project Free TV.
So you can watch it anytime you want, Tim.
Yeah, it's like on demand, only better.
How's it better? No,
yeah. How's it better than on demand? It's free, motherfuckers.
It's great until his neighbor figures out he stole the remote and then comes over to get it back.
No, my neighbor's paying for his cable.
No, Tim just steals Tim just steals the batteries out of the remote. That's all.
I do not. They're the wrong size. Ironic you should start the show with clips from A Christmas Story tonight, Rock.
Yeah, I know, right?
I watched that movie as soon as I got home from work today. It's a Christmas tradition. It has been a Christmas tradition with me since 1983. In case you haven't figured it out, that's when the movie came out. And instead of watching it on Christmas Day with my son, I watched it by myself as soon as I got home from work this afternoon.
And starting Christmas Eve at 8 p.m. on TBS, it'll be on for 24 hours.
Oh, jeez.
Can't wait!
It's the TBS. One movie. It's the one movie you could catch the entire thing just by channel surfing all day.
TBS ruins everything by overplaying it. I mean, they're like your favorite top 40 radio station, your favorite hit songs every 5 minutes, in this case, 2 hours.
Well,
1 hour,
whole idea
57
is it...
minutes and 37 seconds, actually, to be exact.
Well, Tim, the whole idea is that no matter what time of day you celebrate your holidays, open your presents, have your dinner, there's 2 hours where you can watch a Christmas classic.
Oh, come on. Somebody just put it on years ago. This is how this started. Somebody plugged in a tape into the Betamax. Now, television stations use Betamax, and they still use Betamax, by the way. Somebody plugged the tape into the Betamax, hit loop by accident, and forgot all about it. Went home, got drunk, passed out after opening up the presents. That's how the same damn movie wound up getting played for 24 hours straight. Somebody in the corporate offices said, hey, we could save a little bit of money by not having to pay all these fuckers to come into work on Christmas. Why don't we just, like, do that? Somebody else said, I like the way you're thinking. You must have talked to Tim Stein.
Say, I don't see a problem with it because no matter what time you turn the movie on, if you watch it cycle through, eventually you'll catch up to where you were and you can see the whole thing.
Absolutely. And kids, I have a telephone call, so I'll be back in a moment. This is important. I have to answer it.
Keep telling him the radio station is never going to call him to award him a prize.
So anyway, don't we have a lot to talk about tonight?
We do have a lot to talk about here tonight, and we're going to get to all that, but I have to wait for Tim to come back because I have to play a message before we can start, and he needs to hear it, so, you know. Because we have a little special message before we start our show tonight.
Is it the same one we got on Thursday? Because if so, then I'm going to run down the hall and get something to drink.
From the same person, but new.
Oh, different message.
Different message. It's a holiday greeting.
Oh, dear Lord. Given the Australian Christmas carols we heard, I can only imagine.
No, Tim Stein did not just exit the show. He took a phone call. He'll be back with us in a moment.
We're professional here.
Totally.
We take phone calls in the middle of shows.
Uh-huh.
Yes. By the way, I have a phone call. I'll be right back.
Oh, God.
I don't want to be left out.
No, you stay put. We already did that joke.
But we didn't do it on the air.
Yeah, if we did it on the air, there'd be this thing called dead air. A lot of it.
Like there is now. So, let's talk to Lindsay, because Lindsay is going home after the show tonight.
Home for the holidays.
Can't wait. I'm going to get no sleep, but it's going to be awesome.
Who needs sleep?
Jeez.
What's that thing called sleep?
I'm hoping I can be tired enough, because I cleaned my entire house today, that will wear me out enough to go to sleep, but we'll see.
Yes, Lindsay's going home, and that's why there will be no rack on Thursday.
Yes, it's called I'm Taking Christmas Week Off, Screw You All.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much what she's doing. I got, kind of stalling for Tim, so you know.
We need something else to talk about. Omega, quick, jeez, talk about the Doomsday Transformers.
The Dooms, oh god, yeah. Here, let's see, let me dig that picture up again for Rock, cause this is worth seeing, even if even if you don't know crap about Transformers right now.
I know a lot about Transformers, I follow you on YouTubes.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I'm subscribed to your channel at youtube.com/TGOmega.
Where I'm currently doing a daily video that's making me lose my fucking mind.
Well, you only have another week of it to go.
Why the hell did I get started on this? Here, Rock, look into that thing's eyes and tell me where your soul is.
You did it because you want to make lots of monies. That's why you did it.
Before I do that, I'm going to put that up on the screen for everybody to see.
I didn't do it to make lots of monies. I wanted to do something festive that had nothing to do with any particular religious celebration of the month.
So the lots of monies are just a bonus?
Damn right. With lots of monies, it's going to have to go into a new TV and entertainment center. Because, fucking hell, of course I had a big payday coming and something's got to fuck it up.
Is it really a bad thing that you get to go electronic shopping for a TV? Isn't that man's every man's dream is to go buy himself a big TV?
This is me.
I know it's you, but you're still a man and you're still an electronics geek.
I have a wish list on Amazon that is 300 toys deep. I could
300 toys deep?
I went on a bender, okay?
Because you got way the hell too much time on your hands, my friend.
No. When you have too much time on your hand, you go on the air and read off an Amazon wish list on the radio.
Oh, jeez.
Like who did that?
We did on last night on CB Radio.
Whose Amazon wish list did you read off?
We were going through Jabber's movie list of what he owned and stuff. It was fun. We were.
How much of it was porn?
None. None was
really
porn. None was porn.
I'm impressed.
Oh, we did Matrix and Dark Knight and Batman and a whole bunch of other movies that I can't remember at this point. So yeah, check out the archive of the 4-hour edition of CB Radio.
4 hours?
4 hours.
4 hours.
Wow.
Four. All right. So, since, the bugger's not back yet, I guess we should get right into, Mace's, message.
Yeah.
All right.
So. Well, let me stall a little bit here. It's funny you had the Christmas Carol playing because, Mace knows this because he's seen me on Steam and seen how much time I've dedicated into this little game called Borderlands.
Mm-hmm.
Because the designers are sick and screwy that way, there's a hidden basement somewhere in the game that you can only access at this very specific point during gameplay. If you manage to get there at that exact time, it is a really morbid recreation of that house from Christmas, from A Christmas Story.
Right.
With, like, the lamp, you know, with, like, the leg lamp, except it's actually, like, a lampshade on top of a severed foot.
Hmm.
And you actually get to loot a chest with the weapon called the Rider.
Sweet.
Right along with the description, you'll shoot your eye out.
Very nice.
It's sick and morbid in a really awesome way.
Is the family zombies?
No, the family's not there. I presume they were wiped out.
That's a fail. All I know is we got Christmas Story references on TNA, and it was awesome.
What I really wished was that that asshole Santa Claus was in the game so I could shoot his ass down.
Why?
Why do you want to kill Santa? Why? Why? Why?
Just the asshole Santa that steps on kids.
You're still killing Santa.
Like, that's the Santa Claus that made me scared of going to Mall Santas. Granted, Mall Santas don't have the giant mountains dedicated to them.
True. So the question I ask, we'll get into wrestling topic here. What is your favorite wrestling Santa?
Mick Foley.
Simple as that, Mick Foley. You know
what? Am I going to have DiBiase's wrestling Santa? No, Mick Foley.
You're not Vader Claus?
Vader Claus.
Not a big fan of the Vader Claus?
If he still had, like, the Mastodon armor on with the Santa suit, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to back him up on this one. I'm going to go with Foley Claus.
Now, are either of you a fan of the Goldust Christmas tree?
Oh, the Goldust, the Christmas poem we read a couple years ago?
No, Goldust as a Christmas tree.
Oh, God.
I've never seen Goldust as a Christmas tree.
Then you have not seen Are You Serious Today?
No, I haven't seen it today. I've been busy.
This sounds like something my brain blocked out intentionally.
Give me 1 second. Pull up a picture for you.
Wait, is this appropriate for children?
He was with Luna at the time, so...
Oh, no.
This isn't him coming out in, like, all the bondage gear and the walker, is it?
There's a picture for you.
I don't know if I should look just based on Omega's reaction.
Well, Omega reacts that way to just about everything.
Holy Jesus.
No, Jesus is not here.
It's the Christmas creature's bastard cousin.
Where's that tag team?
I don't know. I think they're still in the basement somewhere.
There's a compost heap somewhere.
Kane lit that bastard on fire a long time ago.
Okay, I just want to clarify a few things. Very rarely will I answer a telephone when we're doing the webcast. Tim is not bigger than the business. Stein didn't exactly exit the show, okay? There are like 3 people on this planet. I will answer the phone over this webcast. One of them is my son, and another one is my mom. I'm not going to tell you who the third one is, because that's just like, you know, my own personal business. But that was my mom on the phone. And if any of you people ignore your mother's phone call in order to do something on the interwebs, you deserve to be smacked.
Kidding me? I ignore my mom in the other room.
That's different. You live at home in the basement.
Not the basement.
I live in Florida. The basement.
The basement means the ocean.
There you go. Yeah, you live in the basement. I don't swim like that. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, you get the point, right?
Yeah, got it.
If you don't live at home with your parents and your mom calls, don't ignore her. Because if you do, I will send Hotshot Johnny Devine to kick your ass. And he'll cut a promo on you while he does it.
She's mad at you, and then it's okay to duck her.
Yeah, and
well, that all depends.
And he won't be able to do it on Saturday, though. Johnny's not free
no,
Saturday.
No, no, no. Can't do it Saturday night. That's right.
No, can't do it Saturday night. Any other day besides Saturday.
You might get, yeah, you might get the chance to watch him kick somebody else's ass on Saturday night.
Yeah, we'll get
can
it.
You send Hotshot Johnny Devine to do other things with me?
No, I don't need the headache and grief I'll get from Omega if I did that.
Damn. Omega, see, close your eyes and don't watch.
Not in your contract. Shut up.
You got told and he got told.
Anyway.
Yeah, Omega, the way you treat women, I don't know, man.
What, it's not like you told me to get back in the kitchen.
No, I told you to shut up. That's almost as bad, isn't it?
No.
Oh, okay. Lindsay, shut up.
Tim, wow. Tim, say hi to Alan.
Why, is Alan here?
No, Alan's listening.
Oh, hi, Alan. Guess what, Alan? I'm watching Iron Man starring Robert Downey Jr. As far as I know, he's never wrestled in Florida.
Oh, shit.
See how I did that? Name drop.
Maybe a
shit?
Few hookers, but not in the ring.
Yeah, he did some hookers with Flo, but...
Not really wrestle. There was just a lot of pinning for 3 seconds.
There you go. 3 seconds. Wow.
Well, he wasn't the Iron Man yet.
Alrighty then. You obviously have no idea what cocaine and hard drugs does to your sex drive, Omega.
No. I haven't had the experience.
I'm not going to admit to knowing, so don't ask.
Speaking of cocaine and what it does to you, want to hear from an Aussie?
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Hey, wait a minute. Wasn't Australia destroyed on December 21st?
Apparently,
December 20th for us?
Apparently not.
Damn. I mean, okay.
1 Mace decides to everyone here on WTR.
Fucking ho, what a crock of shit. We all work for Santa Claus, we've had enough, we quit. Cause we do all the fucking work while he stars in the show. Stick your Christmas up your ass, ho, ho, fucking ho.
Greeting people of WTR. It is Mace. I have returned in recorded form to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Going to do a little bit of personal stuff here. Omega, as much as I have found extremely geeky people here in the office, they are not as geeky as you, mate, and I do miss our conversations. I really do. Even if they do cost me money in the end, you prick. Spug, I am extremely proud of what you have done with yourself this year, physically and mentally, and all the best to you, your missus, the first Spuglet, and the incoming Spuglet. Rock, you're probably happy that you don't have to edit this shit as much, because I can actually produce my own shit. So happy Hanukkah, buddy. Hope you get whatever the hell you guys get. Lindsay, I really do miss you, darling. I really, really do. Believe me, I've got some great lookers here in the office, as I have mentioned. You know, the 6'2" Asian girl with there's at least 50% legs. I swear to God, I will get around to photo eventually.
But
yeah, none of them are as easy to talk to as you are. And, Alan, Wojcik, as much as I've given you a lot of shit, I do respect you, but man, you need to tighten up your game. So, I guess that's pretty much it. Oh, hey, I forgot about the French-Canadian Jew old bastard himself, Tim Stein. In all honesty, Tim, I hope you and Owen have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, mate. I really do. All bullshit aside. So, with that all said and done, to the listeners of WTR, keep listening. You never know when I'm going to show up next.
Stick your Christmas off your ass, ho, ho, fucking ho.
And that's from the Mace thing.
Very well timed with the song.
Ho, ho, fucking ho. Shut up your ass. Whatever. It's going to be stuck in my head all goddamn. I'm going to have to work, actually, not to hum that when I'm with Owen when I see him next. I can see it happening.
So a nice message from Mace.
Yes, ironically enough, that was a nice message. It just made me think about what recently just took place in Australia, as a matter of fact.
Oh?
Yeah, a news story that is totally unrelated to Mace, at least I think it's unrelated to Mace. But it has to do with the Australian government. Homosexual marriage, gay marriage is illegal in Australia, so a member of the Australian government had to leave the country to get married. I don't know, this was a CB radio moment that I read this in the newspaper this morning, and I'm like, what the fuck? Seriously,
okay.
That was totally WTF. The government outlaws gay marriage. So a guy who's like in the government, a member of the government, who outlawed gay marriage, leaves the country to marry his gay lover or whatever, as opposed to a straight lover, I guess. I don't know. But you get the idea, right?
They do the same thing here, too.
It's still funny. I'm just saying.
It's ironic.
It's retarded, right, Rock?
It's retarded.
Retarded.
Now that's CB radio.
That was a 15-minute long joke from last night. That never actually 100% fully made it to the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're like, what the fuck? Well, tune into CB radio and pretend you understand.
Yeah, 4 hours. Woohoo! Anyway.
Yeah, that was an epic.
Yeah. So, let's get on with it, Tim. Let's get on with the show.
I don't want to talk about wrestling. Let's just, like, you know, relax, have some Christmas cheer, and tell stories. Nobody wants to talk about wrestling. Come on. Nobody wants to talk about, you know, this new power couple being formed in WWE.
You're right. Nobody wants to talk about that, but I do want to say hi to Alan, so hi, Alan. Okay, go on.
That was only like, what, 10 minutes later. Is he still listening, or did he get pissed off with us picking on him?
I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, I don't know. He hasn't
well,
said
I wanted Alan? To say it unprovoked.
Okay, does Alan know anything about Maverick?
What's a Maverick?
Alan's
a gas
new
station?
Nickname? No, Alan's new nickname?
No, Tim.
Like Maverick
no?
from Top
no.
Gun?
No.
Yeah, you know, Maverick from Top Gun. He feels the need for speed.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you're going for.
That's exactly what I meant. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So can we all get along with that, Tim? You know? Let's talk about the power couple.
What? Huh?
Let's talk about
what
the new power
we talking
couple.
About?
I don't know. Let's talk about the new power couple in wrestling.
Well, okay. What about them?
What do you think?
Now, I'm assuming you're talking about AJ Lee and, what's his name?
Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler. You saw this kind of, I don't know, in hindsight, in retrospect, this is something you'd see like coming from a mile away after the fact. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that I'm surprised. It's just a case of they're doing what they have been doing with AJ and then temporarily stalled it. Or temporarily put it, you know, on hold or something, whatever. But it's basically taking AJ Lee back to what made everybody love her character to begin with. Either love to love her character or love to hate, whatever.
Right. And they try to make her normal, and she's not good at being, well, normal.
No, there's no such thing with AJ.
No, normal does not exist with AJ.
No. Round peg, square hole. They tried to put her into the normal diva mold, and no, she doesn't fit in that mold. She's more of a Play-Doh Fun Factory type girl.
That's
Play-Doh Fun Factory.
I kind of like that explanation. It's a good one. Bravo, Omega. Bravo.
Well done.
Of course, being me, I equate it to toys in some way, but thank you.
Well, if you didn't, I would be worried.
Yeah, that wouldn't be Omega if it wasn't equated to some kind of Transformer.
Play-Doh Fun Factory isn't a Transformer, Tim.
Well, knowing you, you'd make Play-Doh Transformers with it.
There is a Play-Doh Transformer maker.
See, I told you! You brought it right around, and you didn't disappoint me. I'm just so impressed.
So the question I ask is, do this power couple have potential?
Potential?
Potential.
Well, here's the problem, and here's the thing I see with that. If Vicky is going to stay where she is for any length of time, at some point in time, this whole thing between her and Dolph Ziggler has to 100% come to an end. Yes and no. It kind of did, but it didn't. It's not complete. I'm talking about it has to be complete. The thing is, when it becomes complete, don't you guys notice that there's a groundswell of support for the heel Dolph? Generally, when that happens and the crowd does that, the crowd turns the heel into a face. You cannot get away with keeping a heel if the crowd gets behind them all the time.
I think what they're going to do is eventually use this to turn Dolph face. Either you have AJ and Langston turn on Dolph, or you have Dolph turn on them, because he's kind of playing it as almost the reluctant heel. Because he and AJ weren't the lovey-dovey typical couple that you see. They were very, I'm trying to find the right word for it. I don't know, staged, for lack of a better word, because I can't quite think of how they were. They weren't lovey-dovey. They weren't like Dolph and Vicky were. They weren't like Edge and Vicky were. They weren't like Edge and Lita. And they're being compared a lot to Edge and Lita. So
to be fair, the Lita comparison is only because she's been with four wrestlers this year.
Oh.
No, it's because of
the legitimate observation.
One of those kisses doesn't count because it was in close enough time that it just actually is CM Punk kissed Dan O'Brien.
Isn't there a picture of that on the internet?
Yes, there is a picture of that on the internet somewhere. But
it's still gross to think about.
I don't know. I think it's kind of hot, but that's just me.
Well, of course you would. You're a girl and you're into that. I'm not a girl and I'm not into that.
That's okay. If it was two chicks making out, you'd be okay with it.
I'd be into that. Yeah, I'd be into that. That I would be into.
So turnabout is fair play.
Well, that's what I like about the internet. You can find it for free all over the place.
But back to my point, I think this is going to be the device to turn Dolph face at some point. Because I don't know how long this is going to last, if it even has the legs to last a long period of time. It just kind of depends on how they book the whole thing.
I don't really see Dolph turning face over this. Jeez, it's kind of hard because, yes, there is support for Dolph to cash in and claim the world title. There's a pop every time he runs out with a briefcase. But that's something that can be turned around. One of the reasons they're doing that is because it's something new. It's different. It's not just Sheamus and Big Show passing the title back and forth. You know, it's something new. It's different. You know, the hard part is you pair him with AJ Lee, who's supposed to be a heel now, which, you know, in the world of WWE, where the bully always gets what's coming from in the end, you know, be a star. And no, not this case. The bully kind of won. So fuck you, WWE. The problem, though, is that she can't get over as a heel because she's too damn popular.
Well, I don't know.
It just comes off as more of her crazy behavior right now, because she's still getting pops from the crowd. I mean, even when she threw Cena off the ladder, people were digging it.
Well, yeah, we gotta qualify this part of it, Omega, because it was John Cena she threw off the ladder. Of course people are gonna be digging it.
Okay.
Here's
the thing, though. Here's the thing. If they're trying to make this like this heel power couple, they're doing it with someone who's getting pop. They're getting it from a guy who's getting pops from the crowd every time he runs out to try to become the world champion, and a girl who is still getting pops from the crowd because she's the most interesting diva on the show. And it doesn't make it any better when both of them are at war with Vicky Guerrero, who is one of the more hated individuals in the WWE at any given point.
Yep.
The question is this a Vicky Guerrero send-off? Do you have to get her off TV for this to work?
No. You just have to get her away from Ziggler.
Yeah, get her something
Although,
else.
Although, getting her off TV would make me happy. Sorry, go ahead, Omega.
Vicky, I'll give her this. She has improved a lot. I don't find her nearly as grating as she used to be.
I think she's really become sensitized.
Possibly. That said, I think she works roles a little bit better now when she's, especially because she kind of reserves the screeching a lot more than she used to.
Mm.
I don't mind her so much on TV, but she's been connected to Ziggler for so long. I mean, I think that's really all you have to do is end her involvement with Ziggler, whether it's as allies or feuding, whatever.
Well, hasn't she been connected to Ziggler longer than she was associated with Edge by now?
Yeah. A lot longer.
Yeah.
But my question is this, is could this also be that in some way AJ getting her revenge on Vicky by bringing her and Dolph up and then screwing Dolph over?
Hmm.
Like I see that as a, yeah, I see that as a potential. Of course, everything we're talking about right now, it's a potential storyline that they are no doubt examining, right?
Because one thing Rock and I were talking about was that AJ, the more you see of her, especially when she's doing the crazy gimmick, I think she, at least in the character sense, has come to accept her crazy, and she knows her crazy, and she knows how to play and use people with it. And she's learning how to manipulate people. And you're seeing her use her crazy more and more to manipulate people. Like, every time she kisses somebody, that's kind of the start of the manipulation. She did it with Punk, she did it with Brian, she did it with Kane. And it actually started really between Punk and Brian. And then it has progressed on.
Mm-hmm.
So she's playing, you know, she's starting to learn how to play people, or you're starting to see her play people using her crazy or using her whatever that isn't sex appeal and her lack of boobage to get what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be part of it too, they're taking her to another level.
Quite possible. But talking about Vicky and her position on Raw, not all that long ago the rumors started flying that Ric Flair was returning to WWE, and of course we saw him last Monday, awarding Slammy to the Wrestler of the Year, which happened to be John Cena. Issues were taken, concerning that by CM Punk, but that all plays in the storyline. The whole rumor thing, I think it wound up being total coincidence because people were, all over the internet talking about how badly they want, Ric Flair to, be like the general manager for Raw like it was several years ago. And, this type of wishful thinking, I think, turned into almost self-fulfilling type prophecy where instead of people saying, I wish this would happen, it was being reported almost like it was a, breaking news item or like it was insider news and stuff like that. And then with him showing up on TV, the speculation got renewed that he was going to wind up replacing Vicky. What do you think?
Well, technically he can't at this point.
Technically at this point, but that's not for very much longer, right?
It all depends on how long the lawsuit goes.
Yeah.
Because right now the deal is they brought him in for a one-night-only appearance because of the lawsuit. That's how they're working around it.
Yeah, but at the same time, and again, put what stock into it that you want, there have been reports that they want to make sure that, they've been giving him physicals and stuff like that in the back room to make sure he's not going to, you know, have a heart attack if they put him in physical angles, which says to me that somebody is claiming that WWE is planning on actually having Flair around long term.
They gave him a physical before he went out there. They also gave Tommy Dreamer the same physical.
Yep. They give everybody that physical.
It should be called the Jerry Lawler rule, I think.
Pretty much.
Actually,
go ahead.
Actually, isn't it the Eddie Guerrero rule?
Yeah, it should be the Eddie Guerrero rule, but it's actually the Jerry Lawler rule. Because it wasn't really anything until Lawler had his heart attack on live TV.
My question is, does Ric Flair coming back? I don't know if that's a good thing long term if he's on TV every week. It would, I don't know, to me it would lose its specialness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about everyone else, but that, yeah, if he's on TV every week, it just, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I disagree with you completely, Rock. He could, if they play it right, he can be on TV on a regular weekly basis. He gets that pop. Sure, maybe he gets pushed around a little bit and he pushes back. Vince McMahon is still adamant that he, doesn't go back on his retirement match, loss and all this other stuff. He doesn't go back and start wrestling in the ring again, but he can get involved physically in angles. That's fine. Just don't, like, give us 20 minutes of Flair every single episode. We don't need that, like, 20 minutes in a row. Like, you have him on for a couple of minutes here and a couple of minutes there. And I don't think that you would have a problem having Flair on TV every week if you limit it.
It's the rule that TNA didn't figure out. Ric Flair is best in small doses.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I really like the rumor that was going around before where he was going to replace Vicky, but it wasn't as GM. It was as Dolph's manager, which in my head is like such a perfect fit for Dolph to, this is the guy who identifies himself as a heel in his Twitter handle. So. Mm-hmm. To put him with the dirtiest player in the game, you'd have so many parallels to work with. I would love to see him pick up some of the sneaky tricks that Flair is known for.
I would agree with that.
That would be great, except for one of the things I think that is working against that idea is that Ziggler has been around as Dolph Ziggler for as long as he has. He's already picked up things like that. It's too bad that Kurt Hennig is no longer with us. And don't bring up McGillicuddy for crying out loud. But Kurt Hennig, I think, would have been better than Ric Flair would be for Dolph Ziggler.
Well, you saw how good of a manager Kurt Hennig was for Mark Barrow. So, you know, if he can get that kind of success, then he might get over.
I don't know. I don't want to see Flair in a authoritative capacity. I don't want to see him as the assistant to the board of directors. I don't want to see him as GM. I like Ric Flair, don't get me wrong, but at this point, and this is going to sound really awful, and I don't mean any offense to anyone, but to me, Ric Flair is almost a joke now. And they're going to have to do a lot to rebuild his credibility. And especially they're going to have to keep his nose clean and keep him out of trouble. To really, at least for me, to buy him as legit again. Because with everything he's done, with all the money problems, I mean, just the money problems. Just his lack of management. It's like, you really expect me to buy you as general manager? I mean, not to sound awful about that, not to sound contentious about it, but yeah, I don't want to see Flair as GM. I'm sorry. When I heard that rumor, it's like, oh God, why?
Well, you know, oh God, why don't you? I mean, if you look at it in the history of the business, WWE, TNA, WCW, the indie scene, the majority of commissioners, general managers, what have you, have been traditionally the heel. Who's a better heel than Rick? Yeah, he's going to get the pop, but people are going to love to hate him again.
I guess because I've seen it before.
Well, yeah, you've seen everything before, Lindsay. Don't wear blinders just for this one.
But, no, we've seen Ric Flair do it, though. He was in charge of Raw for that year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's been in charge.
And what was wrong with his time in charge? Absolutely nothing. It was very entertaining, in my opinion.
I don't remember it, honestly.
Well, there you go. Then
it
don't.
Was the, it was the rain that started the night after the invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Rick comes out and he's Vince's partner, and Vince starts grabbing his ear for some reason. I never got that.
Maybe it was a tribute to Carol Burnett. Oh, I get it. I see what you did.
I mean, I just. My thing is it's like, I know we're going to see it all the same. I know everything is recycled in wrestling. I get that. But I want to see different players. It's, you have, and I know everybody's going to roll their eyes at this, but I wouldn't mind seeing somebody like Taker give it a shot as GM. I wouldn't mind seeing somebody, I don't know why, fuck, make Rock GM. He can phone it in via satellite. I mean, it's just,
yeah, I don't think so. Sorry.
You want a big name. I'm sorry, and this is going to sound wrong again, but at least to our generation, Ric Flair is relevant. But to the younger generations, is Ric Flair still a relevant name?
He has not been away from the business, unlike Dwayne Johnson. So his relevancy is still there. It may be currently diminished, but that's only because he's been with TNA. He comes back to WWE. We wouldn't be so diminished. I mean, he has established himself enough, really, that he still carries that weight for, the kids. My son, 12 and a half years old, you say Ric Flair, he knows exactly who Flair is. You say The Rock, he says, isn't that that actor?
Yeah, but that's your son. Every everyday kid. Just the average wrestling fan, not the hardcore wrestling fan, an average wrestling fan.
Well, my son is average. He's not hardcore.
But you're a hardcore wrestling fan, so he gets that exposure through you. It's Dwayne Johnson, at least, is in a pop culture more relevant than Ric Flair because he's still been out there. He's still making movies. His name is still out there. Everybody knows who he is.
We're going to have to agree to disagree, Lindsay, because, Dwayne Johnson's out there. He's relevant as an actor. You just said it yourself. Ric Flair has never been an actor. He's never buggered off to go Hollywood. And that's exactly what Dwayne Johnson did. I'm coming back. Yeah, like, we see you twice a year. Good. Whoopee. You know, and maybe I've been listening to Mace talk for too many episodes. But, it's like either spend time with WWE and let us see you at least twice a freaking month, or just go away completely and thanks for the memories. But Ric Flair is still Ric Flair is still wrestling. Now, I'm not saying Ric Flair is still wrestling. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. We might have to agree to disagree, Lindsay. I don't know. Because we do what we do, we might wind up being a little bit biased with our opinions on this. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Ric Flair fan in the world, so that's my bias in it. It was nice to see him come back. It was a great pop. I wouldn't mind seeing more of him in a special occasion kind of thing where you roll him out every so often. He's a featured player, but he's not every week.
Kind of what they're doing with The Rock, but only on a slightly bigger scale than what they're doing with Dwayne.
Sort of like Foley.
Yeah, kind of like Foley. Where
it's, well, you see, yeah, Foley, I don't see enough of Foley, personally. I want to see more, goddammit.
I mean, we're going to have to agree to disagree, because Ric Flair it was great to see him Monday night, but him as GM just doesn't push my buttons the right way.
Okay, Lindsay, now it's time for us to force Omega to pick a side. Omega,
I like
pick a
Flair.
side. And no, he's not getting paid to say that, so you can't accuse him, because, like, after all, who would pay him?
Sorry, I will admit his usage in TNA has kind of diminished him a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that's TNA. In my head, that's another world. Those are different writers. It's them trying to get different things out of the talent. WWE, no, whenever they use Flair, they actually use him right. So I would look forward to what they do with him.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, even Lindsay admitted she's not the world's biggest Ric Flair fan, and I think that, and this is just me talking, maybe I'm talking off my ass, I don't know. But I think that's coloring Lindsay's view.
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah. So, just saying.
Great insight, Tim.
Well, you know, you have to understand this is coming in a world where the Steelers don't make the playoffs, but the Bengals are in.
That was a good game. Don't mock it.
What world do we live in now? I don't know.
Football!
We're living in the world where I'm presently kicking Rock's ass in fantasy football in the Jaegers League.
Hey, do you want me to send you some home-distilled hard alcohol that actually catches fire?
No.
No, I can make it myself, thanks.
There you go. Because I'm not going to anyway, because I'm just too greedy and cheap that way.
I don't think you could get it into Utah if you tried.
Well, I could, but I would have to deliver it myself and sneak it in, because that's just, it's illegal. And then I'd be breaking the law just for you, Lindsay.
Aww.
And see, Kane Kittens, back on my...
Kane Kittens, I haven't won the league yet.
There's a league?
The WTR league. I haven't won it yet. I'm 15 minutes away, provided... Uh-huh. San Francisco doesn't rally to win.
Mm.
But thank you, Kane Kittens.
Didn't realize there was a WTR league, but cool.
You should have. You were given the information, but you chose not to participate in it.
Yeah, don't even start, because I don't even participate in NHL stuff unless it's the playoffs. And don't even get me started on the NHL right now, because you're thinking they aren't going to be playing until 2014, 2015. But I'll tell you right now, middle of July, no later than July 20th, and the league will play a minimum 48 games.
You mean January?
Yeah, that's what I meant, January. Okay. Did I say July?
You did. I was like, okay. They're going to solve this in July. Maybe we'll start next year.
Yeah, they're going to start playing hockey over the summer months.
Might as well at this point. Anyway, we should go to break.
Yeah, there you go. No breaks tonight. We're just going to keep going. Everybody listen to WTR, Sunday Night Rest Talk right here, the pre-Christmas edition. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for not doing whatever it is you would normally do with your family or friends or whatever, just to listen to us ramble and basically shoot the shit for however long we do. We're going to take our first time out of the evening. We'll be back right after this.
Oh, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is a bluebird, here to stay is a new bird. He's singing a song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. Well, in the meadow we can build a snowman.
Every Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network gets a little bit more impactful with The Rack, bringing you the most in-depth coverage of TNA's Impact Wrestling, which includes all of our favorite stars, such as Chavo Guerrero, Zema Ion, Tess Mocker, Robbie E.
Wait, who wrote this? No, I'm changing this.
We'll talk all about my favorite stars of Impact Wrestling, including Christopher Daniels, James Storm, Samoa Joe, Joseph Parks, Austin Aries, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday night, live 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Rack, named after some brush. That's awesome.
Hey, man. What's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Game fresh than me since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The drummer from the Vipers only got one arm.
You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
Yeah, but don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey. Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can. Watch late night C-SPAN. And rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
This is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley of KISS. Happy holiday season.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. Season's greetings and all the best for a safe and happy holiday season.
Hi, this is Pete Townsend. I want to wish you happy holidays.
Hello, this is Robert Plant wishing everybody a very happy holiday season.
Hey, this is Meatloaf, and I am just wishing every one of you a very, very Merry Christmas.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad.
And welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I hear that song, and I can't help but think about the last time I saw that guy actually perform on live TV. Bonus points, Omega, if you can name the guy who was singing that song as we came back.
Unfortunately escaping me.
Okay. Lindsay, do you know?
Nope, but I know the mariachi band at the Mexican restaurant is a great rendition.
Yeah, it doesn't count. I'd ask Rock, but he knows because he played it. the name of the guy was Jose Feliciano. Now, do you guys know what his claim to fame was? I mean, other than having one song that people liked, which was that one.
We don't know his name. We're pretty sure we're not going to have his claim to fame.
He was totally, totally blind, completely 100% blind, played guitar. And, he was like a one-hit wonder, and he released the, Feliz Navidad. That was the one real true hit song he had in North America. And,
so he's the Mexican Stevie Wonder?
Yes and no. I mean, yes in that he's totally blind. No in that he wasn't quite anywhere near as talented as Stevie. But, it's every time I hear that song, I can't help but remember saying it was a daytime TV, one of those talk shows like Dinosaur or Merv Griffin or something like that. It was way back in the like late 70s. I was a real young guy. I was like 12 years old, 10 years old, something like that. And the guy, Jose Feliciano, was so whacked out on cocaine that he kept screwing up the lyrics to his own song. And it was funny to me. That's all.
Okay, so between singers and between Singers and Charlie Sheen, how many times is cocaine going to come up in this episode?
Depends on what music Rock has lined up for the night, I guess. Hey, or if we drop a few movie references, as opposed to waiting until, you know, like Tuesdays.
But they're not on Tuesday. They're on Thursday. Tune in to Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Special day and time.
Cassidy Riley's going to be on, and go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs.
Now, why, Lindsay, in the hell would you promote Cassidy Riley?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because I do the
Because you're his web mistress? Yeah.
Yeah. I made the pretty website. So go
I'm
to
just
it.
Saying. I'm
Buy
just
his
saying.
Stuff.
Oh, hey, did you guys hear? Rock mentioned it last night, and I guess I can officially mention it tonight. Can I mention it now, Rock?
Take his silence as a yes.
I'm taking his silence as a yes. Okay. The odds are extremely good that this Saturday night, if you come to the Wild Talk Radio Network at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, maybe 8:30, show up at 8:30 Eastern just, for, you know, like to get a seat and stuff like that. But if things work out with the tests and everything during the day Saturday, we will be streaming live and for free the next Canadian All Pro Wrestling event, which is this Saturday, December 29th.
Ooh.
Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network on JTV.
Is it in HD?
It'll be on JTV, and it'll be as high quality as we can pump up. How's that?
So that's a no to the HD.
It's going to be very, it'll be very clear and all this other fun stuff, but because it's going to be, I'm going to hook up an HD video camera to the computer that we're taking. So that'll be 9 o'clock Eastern, which is 7 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, that the show starts. That might be kind of interesting, don't you guys think?
It should be, yeah.
Yeah. Now, there's not going to be any play-by-play commentary or anything like that. It's only going to be one camera focused on the ring, and you're going to be able to see all of the wrestling that's going on. You'll be able to hear the crowd, everything, provided all of this works out properly. And if it does, I'm considering this to be like our big test run, as it were. And if this works, then we will, for as long as we can do it, regularly stream the Canadian All-Pro Wrestling events.
Our team is making a large step into the world.
This is huge, because if it works, then we can do like internet pay-per-view for $2, right? But the first one's free.
I can equate what? This to the cocaine again.
What? 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 Give you a taste and get you hooked?
So Tim's a pusher now?
Well, hey, we gotta pay for bandwidth. You know, all this stuff can't keep coming out of my pocket all the time. I'm not rich. There's a reason why I'm frugal. Which is a very polite way of saying I'm a cheapskate, right? I'm just saying.
You usually have much more rude ways of saying you're a cheapskate.
Yes, there are a lot of really rude ways of calling me cheap. But anyway, just with that announcement out of the way, why don't we continue on with stuff that's going on and stuff like TNA and WWE. You guys heard about Sin Cara having his surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Really, is it time to label his time in WWE as Rock puts it, a bust?
I don't know if it's a bust, but I think it was kind of doomed to fail when you bring in a Mexican luchador and you only have Rey Mysterio that can really work him.
Mm-hmm.
And Rey's been gone with various injuries, so he really hasn't had anybody to feud with. I mean, if you had, and I know they do have people that can work with him, but if they had brought in more people and built them as credible challengers for Sin Cara and allowed him to wrestle the style that he knows how to wrestle with someone that can match that style, I think he would have been a lot more successful. But right now,
not so much.
Like, not so much. They're trying to take a Mexican luchador and make him a WWE version of Mexican luchador, and it's just not working.
No. So what would you do with Sin Cara? Would you just, like, wash your hands and walk away, or would you try again to utilize him?
I'd utilize him. I mean, honestly, if you watch his matches with Ricardo Rodriguez,
mm-hmm.
who goes by the masked gimmick El Locale.
El Locale!
Put him in a feud with El Locale, or put him in a feud with Del Rio. Put him, you know, something.
Yeah.
Where he's working somebody who can show off his skills and show that, hey, you know, he really is good. You know, this wasn't a mistake. But other than that, I mean, I don't know what else you could do with him, because you can't take the mask off him. I guess you could if you really wanted to, but that's a huge insult to him.
The hard part to Sin Cara is he's suffering from the same problems that Rey Mysterio has. Is he has a very fast, very aerial wrestling style. But nobody in the WWE can keep up with it, nor are they properly trained to handle it. Which is only getting worse because you have Sin Cara going, who would go through WWE's style of wrestling, which is naturally toned down from what he's probably used to doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rey had a lot of time in the WWE to actually build up to the point where he got. So he's worth keeping around, even though he gets, you know, he's here for 2 months and then injured for 6 months, and back for 2 months, injured for 6 months. But he's popular enough to warrant that. He sells the merch. You know, he's, you know, the mask, you know, the kids all wear the masks. So, you know, okay, let's chill him out. But Sin Cara had to start that way, and it still suffers from, and it has to suffer through the exact same pitfalls. I wouldn't say that his run has been a bust. But I'd say he's been grossly mishandled.
Yeah, okay, I can go along with that. But at the same time, we see Sin Cara screwing up, you know, as they say, botching things. And half the time, sure, it's because the roster member he's squared off against can't keep up with him and stuff like that. But unlike Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara screws up a lot of stuff. I mean, for crying out loud, he hurt the hell out of himself at the pay-per-view. It was him doing it, it wasn't because somebody else screwed up.
Blame the lights,
yeah, they weren't golden blue. Or blue and gold.
No, I mean, that can't help. I mean, first off, you put him in a really weird mask that hides his eyes, and even if that's, even if that's porous, so you can actually see through it, it's still going to be hard to see. And then you flood the ring with gold or blue light and, you know, make it even harder to judge what's going on. In a mask, it'd be real easy to see the colors of the ropes and everything contrasting and actually be able to figure out where your feet go and all that. But when everything looks monochrome and everything looks the same, of course you're going to be thrown off.
Well, yeah, that would throw you off. Possibly the lighting more than the mask. Sure, from our perspective and point of view, it looks like he'd have the world's hardest time looking through that mask. But equate the way that mask is built to a lot of the vehicles that you see that has logos painted on the back windshield. When you're looking from the outside, you can't see in, and you can't see anything but the logo. But when you're in the vehicle itself, you don't even notice that logo is there, just the way that it's painted on there.
Bullshit.
With the holes and stuff like that. I've been in these vehicles. I have been in these vehicles. Yeah, if it's done properly, then it's not bullshit. I have to admit, you know, there are some that are really bad jobs. And there have been people who have painted these windshields who don't know what the hell they're doing. But
the paint, though, still impairs your judgment. It still impairs your vision somewhat.
Well, it's like looking through a transparent veil as opposed to trying to look through a wall.
Right, but still
at the same time, all my Japanese media, you know, call it Power Rangers what you will. I've seen a hell of a lot of helmets and masks that actors have to see through. And there's only so many ways you can do it. And there is no way to effectively do it and still give them full use of their vision. Something has to be obstructed at some point in some way. And especially when you've got material that close to the eyes, because it's going to blur. Just as your eyes naturally try to focus on what's past it.
Okay. Well, you know, at the same time, how long has he been wearing a mask like that, right? And has he gotten used to it? Because after a certain length of time, you get used to things like that, and it's like ignoring a minor handicap. You don't really notice it so much. The rest of the world does, but you don't because you're used to it. Now, I'm not trying to shoot holes in any of your arguments or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, like hypotheticals. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Well,
I don't know. I think he got one really good run left in Sin Cara, at least. I mean, if you haven't come back and heal out on Rey and actually build up to the Mania match, you could have something. Because there's still enough excitement out of the character with the crowd to where if you throw in a twist like that, they're going to react to it.
No. So, yeah, I don't know what you do. To tell you the truth, I have no idea what to do with Sin Cara.
Take off the mask, bleach his hair, and call him Kerwin White.
Yeah, I don't see that working either, Lance.
How about this? Can we swap him with Hunico? Because Hunico seemed to wrestle better in the mask than he did.
Well, Hunico was the original Mystico or whatever.
No, he was the imposter.
Well, no, like the character that Sin Cara played in Mexico originally was played by Hunico. And then it was taken over by the guy who's playing Sin Cara. This is before WWE.
Yes. I'm looking it up now.
Looking it up. Okay, here you go. So, yeah, anyway, there's that. Oh, hey, TNA news. Looks like it's Sting who's won 313, Lindsay.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, is it a big deal? Or should it be made by a big deal by the company, like at this point in time in Sting's career?
It depends on what he's coming back for. If he's just making a return to make a return, fine. But if they're going to bring him back and automatically put him in the Aces and Eights storyline, then yeah, it should be a big deal because they took him out.
Okay. Well, it's just coming across to me like this whole WCW days where, you know, he was gone for the longest time and they made a huge big deal and all he ever did was show up in the rafters forever before he did anything in the ring. And it just, like, this is not the first time Sting has gone away and come back in TNA. It's just getting to be kind of old, don't you think?
Well, the thing to keep in mind is Sting is essentially TNA's version of Taker. He goes away, he comes back. He goes away, he comes back. And anytime Taker comes back, it's always been a big deal. So, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Sting should get the same treatment because TNA has some big names, but arguably Sting is one of the biggest, aside from Hogan. So yeah, there should be a big deal made.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I've always been a fan of when they just come back, and you don't know they're going to come back.
No.
They just show up.
Well, let me ask you guys something. Is it a little bit too late for a bit of a big deal to be made to bring Sting into WWE? Just out of curiosity.
I don't think there's a time limit on that, if only because of the icon he was to their competition. The fact that he's the only one from that company that meant anything, I should point out, that has never stepped foot in the WWF or E.
Yeah, okay.
So even if it's just there to accept a Hall of Fame nomination, it'd be enormous.
So have him sign a Legends deal just to induct him to the WWE Hall of Fame. You don't have to put him in the ring against anybody, especially Taker, which would have worked like 3 years ago, but not today.
Not today, no.
Okay. Sadly, no.
So, yeah, taking a look. Omega, you're a bit of a video gamer, not as much as Mace, but you do play the game on occasion, don't you?
I know of this thing you call a video game, yes?
Okay, so I'm not speaking like weirdo language to you when I talk about video games. I just wanted to make sure. Catch the irony, okay?
Okay, Tim.
Yeah, catch the irony. There we go. THQ has filed for bankruptcy! Does that mean we've seen the last of the WWE gaming franchise as we know it?
Oh, bullshit. As we know it, yes. Because this puts the whole, you know, this kind of puts the kibosh on, you know, the entire franchise that we've had so far. I mean, your biggest loss right now, okay, you don't get the DLC for Big E Langston. Woohoo.
Okay. Yeah.
Which, by the way, god damn, he's big.
Yeah.
What he looks like? He looks like how Mark Henry thinks he looks.
Actually, when he walked out, I was like, Marcus Corvan is back in WWE.
He looks like he's wearing like Henry's old Nation of Domination outfit.
I think
he is. He's not tall, but he's wider than he's tall. At least in the shoulders, than the upper arm.
I think the term is brick shithouse.
All I know is if he gets any more jacked up, his muscles are going to explode.
How long before we see him versus Ryback in a winner eats all?
Sorry. I don't know, but I don't want to see it.
How soon before we hear somebody on the internet call him Blackback? Oh, wait, it just happened. I guess I'm the first. Sorry.
Dude, they were calling him Rye Black the second he showed up.
Rye Black. Well, that's better than Ryback coming out to Goldberg chants, isn't it?
God.
At least they're in the same time zone. As it were. Just saying.
Anyway,
who's going to wind up picking up the video gaming franchise from THQ for WWE, do you figure?
That's a really good question.
Well, who would you like to see pick it up?
Ubisoft's rumored to be interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Ubisoft. They fired one of my best friends. Fuck him in the ass. Ooh. I don't know. There's a lot of really good developers right now, but not too many are actually doing like a wrestling style game. That's really THQ's bag.
Because that's
what they got famous for in the first place, doing WCW games, and then when WWF partnered with them, they just kind of exploded. And they were living off of it ever since, and well, they're not living so much anymore.
Well, who was doing WWF before THQ walked in?
Acclaim, and they no longer exist.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
But Acclaim was doing it all the way back to the actual Upright Arcade games in the 80s.
Yeah, the Upright Arcade games, all the way from the NES game.
Yeah. Lindsay has a question.
Uh-huh.
Rather than somebody taking over, like, another developer, either Rockstar, Ubisoft, or whoever, taking over the franchise, what if WWE buys the franchise out and starts producing it themselves?
You really don't know what goes into that. Like, to produce their own development house would be so expensive, and you'd have to put out like four or five hit games a year in order to actually keep up funding. They couldn't do it on a single franchise.
No, and that's all that WWE would concentrate on is their own franchise. Yeah, sure, they'd try to do other things, but they would bomb like crazy, you know? It's not like WWE has a really bad track record stepping outside of the world of professional wrestling with any other sporting endeavor.
Oh, yeah. But that's exactly
WBF,
what happened.
XFL.
That's exactly what happened to THQ. They were banking on one franchise, and they put out a bunch of games, and some of them were critical hits, but they didn't really produce enough games that people wanted to buy, so they collapsed. You know, that's just the nature of the beast. There's a lot of development houses that do really good, really fun games. Like I mentioned Borderlands earlier, they've got a really fun sense of humor to their games that would kind of work with the WWE's kind of admittedly corny style of entertainment. And that's by 2K Games. You know, they might be a good fit for him. I don't know. Since no one else does wrestling anymore besides THQ, it's really hard to tell.
Well, but if you take a look at it, what's arguably the biggest company out there right now?
Nintendo.
Arguably.
And that's not arguably, they are.
Well, no, I'm talking about just software developers.
It's still Nintendo, but if you just, okay, just a pure software developer, just, you know, doing nothing. God, who's doing the best right now?
Well, isn't EA Sports just about the biggest player out there at the moment? They've got, like, all the franchises. And
As far as sports games, yeah, EA.
You know, the one thing they have yet to do is wrestling. Isn't EA Sports responsible for the UFC game?
They just got the rights to the UFC game, and THQ sold them off.
Okay.
A few months ago to get money.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that worked out so well.
I know, right?
Yeah, that didn't help in the bankruptcy at all. But still, there's the point. Why can't EA Sports take a stab at it? I mean, all their other games are absolutely, playable.
Here, because Dana will put his foot down and say, hell no. Vince will put his foot down and say, hell no.
I will tell you why. And it has something to do with what was really wrong with the THQ WWE games. See, mm-hmm. when they took over from Acclaim was starting to fall into this rut where all the games were kind of the same. You just update the roster and pretty much call it a new game. Well, and when THQ took it over, everything changed. You know, the wrestling style changed. How they handle the character graphics, the entrances, the creator wrestler. It was a new breath of fresh air. And as the technology got better, the games got better, and they added more features, they improved things. But the technology in games at this point, you know, once you hit the PlayStation 2, the only thing you can really do is make the game prettier. You know, mm-hmm. at that point, that's all that's left is just polish. So the games became very stagnant. They're still entertaining, but they're also very much the same. You go to create a wrestler, and they've got the same parts that they've had for the last 5 years. Same mm-hmm. tattoos, shirts, tights, whatever. And, you know, they're running in the same wrestling style. And what changes they make just overcomplicate the game, alienates the new players. I know a lot of people who can't play the new one because it plays nothing like the old ones did. But you've hit this point where the games were becoming very stale. So, honestly, this is the end of WWE games as we know it. But whoever picks it up is going to breathe a new life into it and is desperately needed at this point. So this may turn out to be the best thing that could happen to them. And back to my original point, the reason that you won't see EA Games take the license is even though they're the biggest sports franchise game company right now, they are extraordinarily well known for doing nothing but updating the roster and calling it a new game and charging you $60 all over again.
Well, yeah, I think I've played 3 different years of SmackDown versus Raw, and every year everybody's excited because there are, you know, new moves, new wrestlers. I'm sorry. The 3 different versions of Raw versus SmackDown I played, after 30 minutes of the initial 30 minutes of excitement at the new game. After that wore off, it was the same old, same old. It was just,
yeah,
you know.
The new WWE franchise has changed. It's totally different than the SmackDown vs. Raw series.
No, I'm just saying.
I know.
But what you're saying is totally irrelevant to the point that I'm making. Which is basically, the point I'm making is backing up what Omega has been saying.
I understand.
It's the same frickin' thing. That's all.
Yeah, I know the more recent games have been trying to be very different from the past, but, you know, ultimately the same developer is gonna lead to the same loops at some point. Like, I really want to see what a different, it's the same thing that NFL fans get raged over because EA has the ironclad license on the NFL. No other game company can produce any NFL games of any type.
Yeah.
So a lot of football fans are just, you know, they chomp at the bit going, you know, the Madden series is great, but I want to see what a different developer could do. Like, Will they, you know, like, okay, will they make the season mode better? Will they give us more custom modes? Will they let us play as our own character or our own player? Like, build them up from, like, the high school level. You know, different options, different...
I just want to stop you right there and just point out what you're saying right now is the biggest reason that I enjoy the hockey video games. Because you can actually be an individual player. And every year, and I, you know, it's EA Sports that makes the best hockey game. But unlike with what they're doing with NFL, at least they're updating. I mean, the couple of years ago, they included international teams, and then the year after that, they introduced, you know, the GM mode where you could actually be in control of the team. And the year after that, they introduced the minor leagues, you know, and then you could be like an owner after that, and you could wind up being that one specific player that goes through developmental, you know, in the minor leagues and up through the ranks right into the NHL.
Every sports game has that feature.
You know, but the hockey games are the first ones to introduce that. And that makes them immensely entertaining and enjoyable. And you don't get bored playing the same frickin' game all the time.
But that's the idea here and why I am actually looking forward to the developer changing. Because a new development team means new ideas.
Yep.
And that's something that I really want to see in a new wrestling game is something new. New ideas. Yep. Bring me something that hasn't been done before. Give me an option that no one's considered. Do something surprising.
Here's something surprising to do. Listen to the fans. Okay? And this is why the NHL games were, every year, they're miles and light years ahead of all the other sports games that are being released and stuff like that, and they're innovative and things like that. The developers and the, coders and the designers, you know, they all have listened to the fans and the fans' input. Well, we'd like to do this. Okay, well, now we want this included. Okay, now, well, we want to get that, you know, and it's like you can buy Madden's NFL, whatever, for what, $40, but you can buy EA Sports NHL, whatever year. It's going to cost you like $35 more because there's so much more to it. And I don't have a problem with that, paying that money, you know, for that much extra.
Yeah, especially these days. You know, if you do a wrestling game now, really the only thing you'd have to do is update the roster. Like, THQ, because they were leaning on the franchise, they had to have a new game out every single year. Even if it's just a roster update, and we'll change some outfits to update, and there's the new music and all that. They had to get the new game out because that's their bread and butter. That's the only thing that was really making them hard money.
Yeah.
These days, though, that's not necessary. Like, a WWE game can run on its own merits, and if you want an update, well, there's this little 20, you know, for, instead of paying $60 for a brand new game that has, you know, the 12 new wrestlers that they've actually introduced in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
Here's this little $15 pack of extra characters. Download it, install it, and we'll see you next year when we produce a new game that's got some actual work in it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one thing that I've enjoyed about WWE 13, whatever it was. Like they brought back, you could actually play, and you're recreating moments from the Attitude Era, right? And Mace was showing that for the longest time, playing video games and streaming them on WTR. And you know, that's something like that is great. The problem that I had with all of these wrestling games, after you got the main gameplay from start to finish, sure, it might take you 2 weeks to finish the entire thing. Or if you're like Rabid, it'll take you 5 or 6 days to get through the entire story. Then what? It's just, it restarts. And like with SmackDown versus Raw, you have the Raw storyline, then you have the SmackDown storyline. With the ability now to actually download and expand and all this other stuff, you could save money in developmental costs. And the game that you sell is the core engine with the core gameplay, but the downloads, You know, and you can specify anywhere from $5 to $30 or whatever for different types of, you know, different types of downloads. But all of a sudden, you could have a game a year after you bought it, and sure, yeah, you're paying for upgrades and extras, but you wind up with a game you could play in perpetuity that is not boring after a month.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be, I think, a great idea. I mean, they've started. They need to take it to the next level, whoever takes the franchise.
Yeah. There's a ton. You know, if only I had a geek podcast where I could actually rattle off all the little ideas floating in my brain.
Oh, wait.
What's that called again? What?
TJTV?
Spoken like someone who has no idea what TJTV is.
I have no idea what TJTV is.
It's a cartoon review show.
Oh, okay. Plastic Addict?
Dude, you could do a month of video game reviews.
Shut up. Shut up.
I second this idea. I think it's perfect.
Okay, I just...
You go to hell.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about, but I just have a feeling you're alluding to something that can be considered an inside joke.
No.
I'm... Go ahead. My YouTube channel is currently doing a month-long daily video series. And I get the feeling
insane.
By the time the 31st hits, I'm going to be a quivering mass of jelly on the floor.
You can do it.
This is like any other day. How?
Come on, you can do it.
Omega, to save yourself the trouble, do it in February. It'll be like 28 days.
Fuck off. I'm going to need more than a month to recover after this.
You realize he just hated that idea even more, right, Ron?
No, he sees the potential in it, that's the thing. He sees the dollar signs.
God.
You're going to give the poor man a coronary, and we've had enough coronaries for this year, thank you.
We have?
I think we have.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't one plenty? Never mind two. Forget three.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on.
And five
so,
is
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Moving on.
What were we talking about again? I forget.
Video games.
Video games.
We're
yeah,
I know.
Talking about
it.
How I just clinched the WTR League. Yeah.
I was kidding.
Yes,
okay, now the congratulations to Lindsay are official.
Yeah, congratulations to Lindsay for winning the Wild Talk Radio Fantasy Football League.
There you go.
Yeah, we did it!
You know what, guys? We're going to take our next time out. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back with some gift givings. I think that would be a good idea. You're listening to WTR Sunday night, the final show before Christmas, where we're not taking shit seriously. Just because I don't feel like it. That being said, we'll be back right after this.
There's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe she'd been drinking too much eggnog, and we begged her not to go, but she forgot her medication, and she staggered out the door into the snow. When we found her Christmas morning at the scene of the attack, she had hoof prints on her forehead and incriminating claws marks on her back. Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. Now we're all so proud of Grandpa, he's been taking this so well. See him in there watching football, drinking beer and playing cards with Cousin Mel. It's not Christmas without Grandma, all the family's dressed in black, and we just can't help but wonder, should we open up her gifts or send them back?
Send them back! Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandma, we believe. Now the goose is on the table, and the pudding made of fig. And the blue and silver candles that would just have matched the hair in Grandma's wig. I've warned all my friends and neighbors, better watch out for yourselves. They should never give a license to a man who drives a sleigh and plays with elves.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Apparently he doesn't want to do the comeback. Welcome back, everyone, to Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going to do some holiday fun here in a moment, if Tim is back. Tim? Apparently smoking.
All right, more rambling about THQ.
Back to our THQ discussion.
Okay, just one thing, because this did occur to me. Rock, tell me if you would buy this or not.
Okay. No.
WWE versus WCW the game.
Sell.
What was that?
WWE versus WCW the game.
Sell.
Buy. I would buy.
Sell.
I would buy it, but that's kind of hard to put together.
It's too hard.
Talent wise.
I'd sell because they'd fuck it up just like they did the invasion angle on TV.
Because if you're gonna get, you know, the proper guys, you gotta get a Hogan, you gotta get a Sting. You know.
Yeah, but most of them are under a lot of the big ones are either free range or under Legends contracts right now.
Not Hogan and Sting, the two main players.
Oh, fuck them.
Fuck the core of WCW. Fuck them. Who needs them?
I don't
well,
think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, we'll have the new characters, Huckster and Stung.
Huckster and Stung. I like it.
Right. Hey, guys, want to do some naughty or nice?
Sure, Tim.
I'm always up for a little naughty.
Yeah, I figured you would be, and I'll be nice enough to accommodate you, Lindsay.
Sweet.
You see what I did there?
Made a mega groan?
Yeah, that too.
Why'd you have to come down from the North Pole?
Excuse me? I'm the last freaking person you should imply as goddamn Santa Claus.
You're the only one I know who's old enough for it.
I ain't jolly, bitch.
No shit.
Yeah, no. Anyway, never mind. Clinical depression and drugs aside, I'm in a great mood. Thanks for asking.
No one asked.
That's the problem right there. All right, naughty or nice, rank the top five good guys and top five bad guys in wrestling in 2012.
I guess to start, CM Punk would be number one.
For which?
This is all for naughty. I would go, you know, naughty.
Okay, you start with naughty, and then we'll do nice.
Yeah, start with naughty. CM Punk would be number one.
Okay, who's number two?
Dolph Ziggler.
I was going to say Bobby Roode.
No, I'd say Dolph Ziggler was number two. Rude was number three.
Do we put Lesnar in there somewhere?
Kinkins is putting in the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Christopher Daniels.
Oh, look at MN0733. Punk, Daniels, Zeri, Ziggler, and then Rude.
How about we just rank the Appletini?
I don't know if Daniels would be up there. I don't know.
Would you put Big Show?
I don't know. Daniels gave us Claire Lynch.
Yes, he gave us Claire Lynch.
Yeah, like we need to
give
Claire
it
Lynch.
Back. Do we put Laurinaitis?
For the year, yeah, he would be up there. I would put him at four. Where would you put him?
Jeez. I put him in the fireplace, so I guess he's in that list, isn't he?
Yeah, he would be in that list, so. Alright, so are we all in agreement that Punk's one?
Yeah.
I would agree with Punk at one.
Alright, who would be our number two?
I'd almost put, I'd put Ziggler at number two.
Yeah. He spent the whole year as a heel, and he's on his way up.
Okay. Do you agree, Lindsay?
Yeah, I can agree with that.
All right, then who's okay. Number three?
Number three is where I would put Rude.
Okay, I can agree with you there. So, do you guys agree?
Eh, why not?
What about you, Omega? Do you agree? Rude 3?
It's TNA. Why are you asking me?
Just say yes.
Yes.
All right.
There you go. Okay. Who's at number 4?
Laurinaitis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
He was up there this year. He was, for 6-7 months?
Oh, easily 7 months, yeah.
Mm.
I'm going to throw this out there in lieu of Brock Lesnar. Can we separate him from Punk and put Heyman?
Ugh. Has Heyman been there long enough that you could actually count him?
He was there for Lesnar too.
Well, yeah, no, he was there for Lesnar too, and that was way back. But has he done enough to be considered? That's one criteria you have to look at, really.
Well, he carried the entire Lesnar feud with Triple H, just so they wouldn't have to burn up his dates.
Okay.
So he does have credibility in the one of the biggest feuds of the year.
Okay, I'll agree with you, but arguably.
I think Heyman is top 10, but I don't think he's top 5. Like, and he's made an impact, but I don't think he's done enough to be that high on the list.
Okay. What about Cody Rhodes?
No.
No.
Top 10? Top 10?
No.
Or top 15?
No, top 20.
Oh, okay. Top 20 for Cody.
Just hasn't done anything.
He started out early like he would be something, but no. He kind of fizzled out.
Kind of dwindled all.
Damian Sandow?
No. Again, same thing. Good character, hasn't done anything.
What about Daniel Bryan? Yeah, sure. He's like everybody's on backing him up and everything now, but they're not supposed to. He's still supposed to be a heel. But at the same time, you know, from before WrestleMania on, it was a pretty big deal. And isn't he the guy that basically introduced the WWE Universe to AJ Lee?
Yeah, name I'm
thinking. Do you give him 5 or do you give him honorable mention?
Honorable mention.
Okay, honorable mention.
Yeah.
Bully Ray.
He's been too much of a tweener.
My suggestion is Bully Ray. He's improved as a heel all year, especially in the feud with Joseph Park.
Yeah, he's not exactly a heel at the moment.
Well, he was for 11 months
of
the year.
Yeah, he was for 10 months.
You know, he was for a long time. I don't know. Any other suggestions? Since that one kind of didn't go over?
Christopher Daniels. He has to make the top five. He just has to for the Abeltini alone. Come on.
Oh, boy.
Claire Lynch.
Has been one of the most...
Claire Lynch.
Well, that's the reason he should be on the list right
Claire
there.
Claire Lynch.
All right, Claire Lynch is number five.
That's not what he meant, Rock.
But he kept saying Claire Lynch. I thought that's what he wanted. No?
Omega wants Claire Lynch?
Apparently.
No!
He screamed her name.
Don't even joke. She's in this state.
Performing, you know, often.
Yeah, I bet she looks really sexy in her olive oil costume.
God, you know, I didn't even think of the Popeye character at Stars. I just pictured her in, like, this, you know, extra virgin olive oil bottle or something. God, I need sleep and I need a break from videos.
So who's number five? Do we all agree Daniels?
I think it's odd that they're having a hard time picking five great heels this year.
You know what? You know what? Let's go with Daniels just to get it over with and done with. Move on to top five nice guys.
Top five nice guys.
Number one, CM Punk.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah.
Because he split the year.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 50-50, and he was top dog when he was good. Now he's top dog when he's not so good.
Okay. CM Punk 1, who's 2?
You have to put John Cena there. Sorry, guys. Hate him or love to hate him. Yeah. Just by
quality here, Tim.
Just from default. I mean, you can't get away from it.
But number 2...
I know we can't leave him out of the top 5, but God...
He's the face of the franchise, and... You know, by default, he has to be number 2.
You can make the same argument that The Rock should be number 2 or 3.
No, you can't, because The Rock hasn't been around long enough.
He's been around a lot longer than you think this year. So, who you got? So you say Cena's 2, who's your 3rd then?
Who is number 3? Sheamus. For me, I say Sheamus.
Oh, I have a hard time putting him number 3.
Why?
I don't know. I don't think... he might be number 5. I don't have him at 3.
I put him as 1. That's a hard part. See, I wouldn't put him that... Something in my brain doesn't want to put him that high, but I'm hard-pressed to figure out who would go number 3 instead.
Storm?
If they didn't botch it, yeah, but they botched it. They botched him this year. He's an honorable mention because they botched him. If he won the title, he would be in the top, you know, in the top 5. But he didn't. They botched his career this year by not cashing in on it.
That lovely TNA way of pushing somebody and then bailing out right when they're hot.
I am rescinding my support for Daniels for top 5 naughty. And I'm I'm replacing him with AJ Lee.
See, AJ would be my number 3, then Sheamus at 4.
For nice.
Yeah. She played the face for the year, then the heel. And I'm not gonna put her in the heel, I'm not gonna put her in the naughty list for the last 2 weeks.
Even though everyone else would want to put her in the naughty list.
For different reasons, of course,
naughty.
Rock.
What was that, Omega?
They just want to call her naughty.
All right, so AJ's 3. I would agree with you there. Sheamus 4. Who's 5?
Who was number 2?
You said John Cena.
Who was number 3?
AJ.
Who was number 4?
Reluctantly, Sheamus.
So who's number 5? Oh, that was recapping, by the way. Number 5. I had it for a second.
Oh, jeez.
You vetoed Storm because they screwed it up.
That's my opinion. If you can give me a better argument. Are we going to have to go by default and say Jeff Hardy?
No.
We can't, really. We can't. Because how long has he been back for?
This entire year?
No, like, yeah, he's been around for pretty much the entire year. But how long has he been back for? Do you understand what I'm trying to?
He's been back for
how long has God? How long has he been on the bandwagon?
Over a year at this point. Chat room is throwing out Daniel Bryan and Kane.
No.
We can't throw both in there as a technicality.
We like them and stuff. It's hard to put them on that list.
It's a peanut butter jelly thing. You know, you need them both, and we can't put both.
Have any suggestions, Lindsay?
Hunter.
Hunter.
Lawler.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I'm grasping here.
I can tell when you pull out the Jerry Lawler card, you know.
Hell, I'll throw it out there. Taker.
I was thinking Taker, but again, it's the short list. It's short list. Same with Hunter. It's too short of a time. Because at the same time, there you go.
It's not like we got this question in advance and had time to prepare or anything.
Oh, no, you didn't have all day to think of this.
Wait, I had all day to think of this? You bastard.
It was in your email.
Oh, now I'm supposed to check my email.
You're supposed to take your email, like, before we start?
She's off the run sheet. Shit.
I did send out the run sheet. Yeah, I did.
I've been cleaning and working all damn day.
Join the fucking club. I saw the email.
Were you vacuuming?
Were you trying to hold up a YouTube empire?
I don't have a YouTube empire to work.
Damn right you don't.
Well, since you do have a YouTube empire, when the hell are you going to start paying me, huh? Huh?
When he does that month-long video game review month.
Shut up.
Alright, so who's number five? Jeremy says Kofi Kingston?
No.
Austin Aries?
Little Jimmy.
No.
Little Jimmy.
You know what? I support that pick from Lindsay. Little Jimmy.
Alright, I guess. Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy for president, motherfucker.
On one condition.
What?
Since we're so undecided on this one, and since it's Little Jimmy, leave the space blank.
Silence.
Dead fucking air.
Show killer goes to Omega.
Fuck off.
Alright, so Lil Jimmy's number five.
Alright,
so that's naughty or nice. Right. I can't believe it took us so long to get 5-5. How bad is that?
Alrighty then. Why don't we just go on to quick hits?
No, we got other stuff to do, Tim.
Well, fine. Let's do the great debate.
You don't want to do gift giving?
I don't want to give anybody a present. We had so much trouble doing naughty or nice. Do you really want to see what
That's an hour.
All right.
Yeah, do you want to see what Lindsay's going to give John Cena for Christmas?
Screw that. Do you want to see what Lindsay would give Kane for Christmas?
No. Well, not if you're going to charge me $29.95.
Here, do I get the gift too?
No, you don't get the gift.
Shit.
You get to watch, but you don't get the
gift. I don't want to watch.
Yeah, that's not right. There's a reason why I watch lesbian pornography. I'm just saying. Shit, I just gave Rock into the clip. Not even thinking. Stupid ass.
Yes,
Merry Christmas, Rock.
Mazel tov.
Anyway. Yeah, don't forget he's half Jewish, right?
Exactly. So we're not doing gift giving, so it's great debate time.
Wait a minute, Rock. If you're half Jewish, does that mean you only have 4 crazy nights?
Many crazy nights, Tim.
Think about it.
Especially when talking to you. I know what you were going for, but I'm just saying. We doing the great debate now, Tim?
Why don't we do the great debate?
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
Are you ready?
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate.
Are you serious for what?
Join the hosts as they debate the greatest wrestling entrance theme of all time.
I am CM Punk, and I am the voice of the voiceless.
Now step in to the WTR Squared Circle for this week's Great Debate.
You didn't say that. Tell me. You did not just say that.
In case you're new to this, we're down to the final four. So we're going to crown a winner tonight on the Great Debate. And up first, which one should we do first?
Taker wins the whole thing. Can we go to bed now?
Let's go with Undertaker versus Million Dollar Man.
Blame Rock. It's our collective fault these two fucking ones got lined up against each other.
I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying I hate him. There's a difference.
Oh, okay. Well, why do you hate Rock?
For making me have to pick between these two.
Yeah, you see, we made ourselves have to pick. Now, come on.
I know. I actually listened to both these themes earlier today.
He's got enough of a handicap. Just don't, like, shoot on him like that.
And...
Fuck
you know
too.
What surprise? I'm going to take Taker, but here's why.
Okay.
You take out the voiceovers on DiBiase's theme, and it's them just saying money, money, money with the quintessential 80s, early 90s music behind it. I think what makes DiBiase's theme is DiBiase talking. Whereas if you take the bells and the thunder and the lightning out of the Undertaker's theme, it's still the funeral dirge. It's still recognizable, and you can still kind of tie it to him.
So, one vote for Taker. Mace.
Well, you thought I was gone. Like that's going to fucking happen.
DiBiase versus Taker. I'm taking DiBiase as much as the epicness that is the going to be overvoted Undertaker song is. Believe it or not, Tim actually raised a good point last week. It is a glorified, jazzed-up version of the Funeral March. DiBiase's at least has originality working for it, which is why I'm going to give this one to DiBiase.
Thanks, Mace.
You weren't expecting that, were you?
No.
Alright, so, Omega. So it's tied 1-1. Omega.
You know, there is that point that Tim made about the funeral march. That said,
here we go.
Would you ever hear a funeral march and think wrestling theme? Would you ever think it could be done that atmospheric, to have that vibe to it, where not only is it grim, not only is it dark, but you know the end is coming. It's on its way. And then to attach it to something, then to attach it to, you know, that really low chorus in the beginning, the gong that's as iconic as that laugh from DiBiase. You know, Lindsay makes a good point too, that, you know, DiBiase's music, it is a very 80s generic sound to it, and what's making it is DiBiase voicing over it. And it's not even, you know, and I can't even give the bonus points for singing his own theme, because he's not singing, he's just speaking.
He's white man rapping.
AKA the
something like that. God, it's barely, but I have to go with Taker.
So that's 2 Taker, 1 DiBiase, Tim.
Well, you know, okay, Lindsay wants to strip out everything that makes Ted DiBiase's thing. Just to justify her picking Undertaker. You know what? If you strip everything away from the Undertaker that makes it the Undertaker theme, you still have the funeral march. Thing is, you can't strip anything away from Ted DiBiase's theme, because everything in his theme makes it Ted DiBiase's theme. Whereas the bells and the whistles and the gongs and the footsteps and the wind were added to the funeral march to make it Undertaker's theme. Right? And yeah, it's all jazzy and everything else like that. You know, and there's a bit of an 80s vibe to DiBiase. Hello, he was, you know, big and relevant and a wrestler in the 80s. Of course it's going to be the 80s. Of course, think about it. Listen to the funeral dirge. That thing was written in the 1700s, for crying out loud. It's got that 1700s finality feel to it. You
and
know,
yet it
just
still
like everything
makes a good
Mozart
wrestling theme.
And yet what? What did you say?
Keep going.
No, what did you say? Nobody would ever think it was a wrestling theme, because it's not a wrestling theme. Okay, again, it's the funeral march with bells and whistles, and then okay, we got this guy, we call him a dead man, give him dead music. Boom. There you go. The Undertaker's theme is Latin. All right, it's a dead language, but people still speak it. All right, DiBiase's theme—you cannot take away his laugh. You cannot take away DiBiase talking. Okay, because you don't have that backbeat for a backdrop to any other song but DiBiase's theme, and every single one of those parts are in there. The whole thing was created specifically for DiBiase. The funeral march, it's a nice little hot rod that has been jazzed up with some fire pinstriping on the sides of it, with a cherry bomb on the exhaust with a big, huge ass muffler on the back of it with chrome detailing. Think about the gremlin in Wayne's World. Okay, don't get me wrong. I love the funeral dirge. It gets the blood flowing, and you know Taker's coming out. But if it didn't have all of that add-on stuff, it wouldn't be a wrestling theme. DiBiase's theme doesn't have anything added on to it because it is all one piece specifically. It's a wrestling entrance theme. And nothing else. The funeral dirge is the funeral dirge with the add-ons to make it Taker's wrestling theme. I am voting for Ted DiBiase. However, I am very stiff about it because I still get the same blood pumping feeling every time I hear Taker's entrance. Besides, DiBiase is the guy that introduced Taker, so he should win just for on that itself.
All right, so we'll send it to the chat room. We have a Taker vote, a Ted DiBiase vote, and a Taker vote. So, Taker moves on. So Taker moves on to the finals, and he will face the winner of this next matchup.
Wait a minute. Bunch of collective jackasses.
Can I move on now, Tim?
All right, move on.
Viva la raza!
I got that passion that's lasting long. Most mujeres fall in love with that Latin charm. One woman isn't enough, amigo. Siempre cogiendo más mujeres porque soy Latino. And I'm tougher than tough, calling your blood buzz. I cheat, I steal.
You think you know me?
On this day, I see clearly everything.
Omega, you're up first.
Oh, god damn. I will say this, I really, really like the sound of Edge's song better. That said, we're judging themes, not music. And as Tim just pointed out, it's not just the music that makes the theme. And this is where my rule of singing it yourself gets you bonus points kind of comes in. Eddie's song just fits him better. It's a song about Eddie. It's not bought from a band.
Okay, so that's one for Eddie Guerrero. Since Lindsay had to step away for a second, she picks Edge. And now that's a tie-up, so now we send it to our Aussie friend, Mace.
And we are down to a very interesting one. We have Eddie Guerrero versus Edge. Who to go for this one? I'm going to pick Eddie over Edge, mainly because, well, I'm taking off points for the fact that it is the Alter Bridge version. Eddie's, again, very creative, is unique to the character, has a very upbeat, as Tim would say, I give it an 85, it's got a beat you and I can dance to it, even though I don't dance. Eddie Guerrero over Edge.
Alright, so Eddie Guerrero is up 2-1, Tim Stein.
Eddie Guerrero.
How come?
Because I have never and never will use Alter Bridge as my ringtone. And people are like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? Right?
Mm-hmm. It has, nothing to do with anything. Unless, let me guess, Eddie Guerrero is your ringtone?
That happens to be my current ringtone. I lie, I cheat, I steal.
Is it the version that actually starts with a cell phone going off?
I believe I think I actually cut that one out. hang on a second. Just hang on. Wait for it.
Unless he's trying to call himself.
No, I'm not calling myself. That would have been smart. I went in to actually get it. Can you guys hear it?
It's the one we just played.
Yeah, that's the face Eddie version.
Yeah, that's the woo guy. But yeah, that's my ringtone right now. Before that, it was Voices. Now I switched it when I got a new phone, which I am going to blow up with high explosives because it's a piece of shit. Never buy a Sony Ericsson phone, kids. They suck.
Could have told you never to buy that back in 1999. Anyway.
Yeah, well, fuck you, have you? Prick. Just saying.
All right, so that makes it 3-1. Do we count the chat room?
Why? He's won.
Okay, I'm just asking. Just saying. Sure. So Eddie Guerrero now takes on The Undertaker.
Oh my God, it's not like we've ever seen that as like a real wrestling matchup.
Actually, have we?
It's a whole... You know the... Oh God. The creepiest fuck thing. There's a WWE Raw versus SmackDown where this is a storyline, and it ends with Taker putting Eddie in a casket.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, thanks for going there, Omega. At least somebody remembered.
I forgot about that.
I didn't. That's why I brought it up.
Oh my God, you remembered something, Tim. Oh my God.
Fuck off.
Do you want a medal?
I know so much stuff that it takes a while to sort through my intelligence and my knowledge of all the stuff that I know just to focus in on one thing that I need to talk about.
In other words, you need to get that crank start going.
Don't even, because I just like, no, you can't. It's over there. Forget it.
No, he lost the crank starter. Anyway, Omega, Taker versus Eddie.
I don't want to do it now. Wait until after Christmas.
No. Do you need more time?
Yeah, get back to me in March.
I can give you about 52 more seconds.
So, Mace is talking for 52 seconds then?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's hear from Mace.
So this being the finals, and me having to do this all pre-recorded, at this point, it's going to be very interesting. Basically, if DiBiase went through, I am putting him through as the winner. If Eddie goes through, I am putting Eddie as the winner. If the opposite is true, then we're going for Taker. If, it's going to be Taker versus Eddie, I'm going with Taker. If it ends up being Edge versus DiBiase, I'm going with DiBiase. So hopefully that has covered all the options. If not, then please feel free to disregard anything I've said in the last minute and go ahead and choose whatever the fuck you want.
I think he picked Edge, right?
Yeah, essentially.
I'm surprised he didn't pick Warrior.
No, we have one vote for The Undertaker. Alright, back to Omega.
Shit.
Instead of giving you 52 seconds, you should have figured out.
Can you play it again?
No.
No.
See what I sent it to Lindsay, but I don't think she's back yet.
God. There's just two themes that have never fit the two so much better. You know what? I joked at the start, but you know I'm putting Taker all the way through. Yeah, I can't get over it. It's not just knowing, it's not just, you know, the adrenaline of knowing who's coming. It's the atmosphere it sets. You know, Eddie's upbeat and it's fun, okay, but Taker, even after all these years, that theme still gives me chills. Of course, now it's probably from Rarity appearing it rather than actual music, but nah, it's still the music.
So we have 2 for Undertaker over Eddie Guerrero. Lindsay.
Taker.
Why?
I have no reason why.
Because it's her.
3 for Taker, Tim.
Wait a second. 3 for Taker?
Mm-hmm.
I thought Mace picked Guerrero.
No.
No.
He specifically said if it was Taker versus Eddie, then Taker.
Wow. See, I wasn't paying attention. I was doing other shit.
Yeah, if it was Eddie versus DiBiase, he was putting Eddie.
Well, I'm picking Eddie.
Because you're difficult.
Because Taker shouldn't have made it to the final.
Contrary dick.
Hey, I'm sticking true to my beliefs. Don't you be shitting all over me, bitch.
Mickey got it wrong. He's just a dick.
I got scruples. They were on sale.
Of course they were.
What did you expect?
For you to be unscrupulous.
Only when I have CAW shows to put.
So, we can declare that The Undertaker is the greatest theme song of all the times.
All right, everybody in the chat room, I want you to start listing off movies, just for the hell of it, random. Just think movies. It doesn't have to be any specific genre or anything like that. Just start listing off movies.
Okay, so that ends this great debate, so we're going to need a new great debate starting in 2013. So we'll open to suggestions.
How about the greatest tag teams of all time?
Did that.
Wait a minute.
Been there, done that.
How about the greatest ring entrance of all time?
Did that.
Been there, done that.
How about the greatest heel of all time? Wait a minute.
I don't think we've done that.
It's Ric Flair. Join us in 2014 for our next great debate.
So yeah, we'll
how about the greatest Canadian wrestler of all time? It's a bigger list than you guys think.
Tim.
Santino Morella's on that list.
You are not making us line up for that blowjob.
Do you have to be all perverted when you say shit? I mean, that's just terrible. Didn't you think of anything else?
Well, I could suggest we vote on the greatest Floridian wrestler of all time, but Alan would have to be here for that.
And know how much you like doing a show with Alan. Hey, how about the worst gimmick of all time? Yeah, that one goes to somebody we already picked, doesn't it?
I think it goes to Tim Steiner as a Canadian All-Pro Commissioner. Anyway.
Bite me a little. Shit.
Didn't we do female?
Oh, Major League, that's a good movie.
I think we did female.
Trish.
Yeah, I think
No. He gave you the winner, Trish.
No, I think we did it.
I almost say we did it too, because I can remember discussing Wendy Richter over it.
Yeah, you just want to be able to say you did Trish.
Because I think I made the graphic for it. I think we did it. So, yeah. Yeah, we did it already. I think Trish won.
I had one in my head, but I don't know if you could fill out an entire bracket for it.
Okay, what is it?
Sidekicks. In the realm of Ricardo.
Because
there's a bunch of them, but how do you separate them out from managers and valets?
That's the thing. They're kind of one and the same at times.
At times, yeah.
And the way that we did it was the most influential woman in wrestling. It was the Great Debate.
Mm-hmm.
We did it back in 2011.
Don't stop listing movies, guys. Yeah, keep going. That's great.
So, if you have suggestions, you know how to get a hold of us by now.
267-297-1397, Skype Sorokin, email media at wildtalkradio.com, email admin at wildtalkradio.com. Post on Twitter or post on Facebook.
I thought the whole explanation of, you know, they already know how to get a hold of us covered all that.
Well, I was just clarifying for the Edmontonians and Philadelphians tuned in.
Someone suggest greatest pay-per-view set just so Rock has to go through and take screenshots of all 64 selections.
Oh, fuck
awesome.
You. Oh, fuck you. I'll do that if you do the video game review.
That's after we did down to the top 64.
Yeah, you're actually going to need about 150 to weed them down.
I can do that if you do the month-long video game review.
I don't do game reviews.
Tie it in somehow.
You don't know how hard game reviews are. There's a reason I don't do the fucking things.
What a whiner.
Then we're not doing
If I review a cartoon, it's 2 hours of watching to get enough material.
Like that's a hardship for you.
It's not. That's why I do it. But a video game is 8 hours minimum of collecting footage.
Just
fuck
get
that.
Mitch to play the damn games for you. He'd be done in four.
Yeah, you're still not... Yeah, it's still going to take about 4 months to collect footage to do 30 different videos. Fuck that.
All right, anyway, if you have ideas, send them. We'll do a new one in 2013. Ready for quick hits?
Yeah, I think we're ready for quick hits. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Let's start with Lindsay. What is that one holiday movie or show you have to watch every year before the season's over?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
How come?
It's tradition. We've watched it every year since I was a kid, and I remember it every year. We used to actually watch it around Christmas Eve because that's when they would kind of show it, before they push it way forward, and then we would go light looking. So it's like, it brings back really good memories of family time.
Okay. Tim, what's the best holiday gift you have ever received?
The best Christmas gift?
Yeah, best Christmas gift, yes.
Well... Oh, that kind of sort of thins out the field. A pair of hockey tickets that I wasn't expecting to get.
Okay.
Why not?
Omega, what's the greatest holiday song of all times?
Greatest holiday song? Oh, God. See, you asked everyone else the ones I actually wanted to get, and then you asked me the one I know jack shit about, because I don't listen to much music.
Much music, that's the Canadian version of MTV.
No one asked.
I don't care, I threw it out there, fuck off.
So so that's, what, 10 fuck-offs at this point?
Well, don't tell me nobody asks. I don't care. It's my goddamn...
Your
whatever.
Goddamn... Your goddamn what? Anyway.
Okay, kids, don't operate heavy machinery after you've been drinking.
Clearly.
Obviously. Did that sound sober? Anyway, moving on.
Have we bought a mic enough time?
I hope so.
All I can think of are the really irritating ones.
Okay.
Like, you know, like the 12 Days of Christmas.
Mm.
It's really repetitive as fuck.
There's one song you should pick.
There's one song I should pick. I gotta go cliche and say the Christmas Shoes. Fuck that.
Hmm.
It's too depressing for this time of year.
Frosty the Snowman?
No. Honestly, my favorite song around Christmas is Deck the Halls.
Okay.
Christmas Story flashback.
Lindsay, what's Deck the worst...
Deck the Halls of Harry.
What's the worst holiday movie ever?
Oh, crap. any of the ABC Family or Hallmark holiday movies.
What's that Goldberg Santa Claus movie?
Go
ahead.
They did the Miser Brother Christmas. It wasn't bad.
It's alright, but yeah, it's just... Yeah, just any of the Hallmark or... Really, the Hallmark movies.
Okay.
They're pretty bad.
Okay. So, Tim, we have a question. This one is coming from Lindsay.
Oh, fuck.
How much would you think Spug would pay for one night with Omega?
What? What?
You heard the question.
Repeat the damn question.
How much would Spug pay for one night with Omega?
One night doing what?
I asked Lindsay.
God, the escape key doesn't work.
Lindsay, one night doing what?
It's Spug.
He gets Omega for one night.
God damn. Omega
the
escape
key. He's just gonna raid my collection for Grimlocks.
No, it would wind up being some kind of a geek thing with you. I'd say he'd volunteer $150 and fork out up to $3.
So,
oh, and you should have chosen I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Okay. So $150, that's all Omega's worth. A night with Omega's worth to you is $150?
No. The final was $300. It's almost like a bidding war, right? He'll voluntarily fork out $150, but he'll go as high as $3.
Alright, so one night with Omega is worth $300.
To Spudge. Lindsay might pay less. Yeah.
Pay for it. I don't have to pay for it. It's in my contract. He has to put out.
No, I'm just saying, just in, if that was there that you probably wouldn't pay that much.
I wouldn't even have to pay for it. I'd just have to flash in my boobs and I'm good.
Again, it's hypothetical, woman. Like your underwear. You know it's not there, but we're going to pretend it exists.
No, sweetie, it's there.
It's December. I guarantee it's there.
Yeah, she's in Utah. Never mind.
And Omega, I don't know how you'll feel about this one, because we got the answer how much Spug would pay. About $2. I don't know if that's good or bad. Anyway.
Spug, that doesn't even pay the cab fare.
You see, $150 sounds a lot better now, doesn't it, Omega?
Maybe $150 is how much Tim would put out to spend one night with Omega.
No. You would have to pay me.
lot.
So, anyway.
Yeah, I feel betrayed by everyone all of a sudden.
Because all I would ever get was shit about his dad being a Trekkie. That's all he'd ever talk about.
Anyway, moving on. Since apparently Spock doesn't think high of Omega anymore. It's only worth $2. Omega cast WWE stars as members of A Christmas Story.
Okay. Here's a little problem with that. And this is going to be blasphemous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like that movie.
That doesn't mean anything about the commercial. Not the commercial, the question.
Yes, it does, because I don't even know the main character's name.
Ralphie. Start with Ralphie.
That doesn't help.
Doesn't help you at all. Google it.
We have Ralphie to Google would every be... single character. We're going to be here till 6.
Ralphie would definitely be Mace. Spud would be Ralphie's little brother, because I could just picture Spud dressed up and he can't put his arm... Well, he can't answer the question.
Don't stop him. Don't stop him.
That was not the question, though.
Oh, what?
WWE stars as members of...
Oh, no, I like WTR stars.
Alright, then fine. Tim, take it. Go ahead, WTR.
Like, no, I changed it up. Forget it. I decided not to anymore.
Seriously, Brock, why do you have such a talent for picking questions that I have no fucking way of answering?
Because this one was sent in and everyone thought you could answer it.
God damn you. Whoever sent that in.
It's just proof that Kane Kittens doesn't know you as well as he thinks he does.
We thought you would know the movie.
Kane Kittens never asks me good questions. Why do you take them?
Actually, this came from the comic I made. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it started with Lindsay. So, we can't blame him totally. And are you actually going to blame Lindsay? Alright, I'll change the question for you, Omega. If you can star in any Christmas movie, what Christmas movie would you want to star in?
Probably Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer, so we could wind up on the Island of Misfit Toys.
That was in my head, but it was too obvious.
I was just thinking the profit potential.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
The king of the island of the misfit toys.
Oh, jeez.
Starring Bad Santa.
No.
You could be Billy Bob Horton.
God, I...
The Grinch?
I'd sooner be in Bill Goldberg's Santa movie.
Frosty the Snowman?
Oh, God, I'm trying to think of it now. Hang on, I need Wiki.
Just describe the damn movie.
No!
Chicken.
So while he does this, we should tell everyone what's going to happen on Saturday night, Tim.
Canadian All-Pro Wrestling will hold a live event at the Royal Canadian Legion No. 1 downtown Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Right on the LRT line, so if you're in Calgary or thinking about coming to Calgary on December 29th, catch the train, watch the show, and eat cheap popcorn. And the odds are really good that we will be streaming Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, New Year's Evil. Yeah, and shut up to Lone Jobber, by the way. yeah, New Year's Evil live on the website.
Who can we see in action, Tim?
Hot Rod Johnny Devine will defend his title, making his debut in Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. Former Stampede Wrestling star and current ECCW star, Ravenous Randy Myers. Yes, that's Bugs' guy right there. Bugs is a big fan of Ravenous Randy. He makes his debut, finally, in CAW. Also see guys like, oh, God, who am I got lined up? Andre Williams, Logan Cross, Maverick Mike Briggs, Sidney Steele returns after 1 year. Steven Styles is going to cause problems again for somebody, like he normally does. Yeah, a lot of people.
So how much are tickets?
$12 in advance, $10 for kids 6 to 12, $10 for students with student ID, $15 at the door. Please bring a non-perishable food item to donate to the Calgary Interfaith Food Bank. Last year, we raised 140 pounds of non-perishable food items to help restock the food bank after the Christmas rush. Everybody, okay, and I'm addressing everybody tuned in, listening live or to the archives, take a can of corn or a can of beans or a can of peas, whatever, just even one can of goods, something non-perishable, you know, a box of Kraft dinner. It doesn't matter. Donate it to your local city's food bank, okay? Now, here's the thing. Everybody gives like crazy at Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving. The food banks need to be supplied year-round, especially after these holidays. It's great. You know, the family of four can be fed for $5, but that's only for one day. The food banks that your cities run or that are running in your cities need donations, and they need help every single day. So, please, if you're not going to in Calgary, you're not going to be in Calgary, you're not coming to my goddamn wrestling show, just stop, take some time out. Yeah, donate for the holidays. But remember, they still need your donations when there are no holidays. There are many people out there who are scraping by just barely enough money to put a roof over their kids' heads. And they don't have enough money to pay rent and buy dinner. Help them out. Thank you.
This public service message brought to you by CanadianAllPro.com. So, Omega, have you figured it out yet?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of the Rankin Bass called Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July.
Oy vey.
What?
Nothing.
I get Rudolph, I get Santa, I get Frosty, and you know what? I get a goddamn flying circus. That sounds like fun.
Okay. I guess we'll take that as an answer. Good job, Omega. Wikipedia helps.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Lost Boys of the Tribe, by the way, is a bad movie.
All right. That's our show, Tim. Start plugging.
Yeah, well, everybody, I would like to say thank you for supporting us in 2012. Those of you who are actually here, tuned in live, those of you listening to the archives, thank you very, very much. It's very much appreciated. And, yeah, we're all, you know, pricks and cranky buggers and shit like that. But seriously, we appreciate you tuning in to listen to us be all bitchy and crap like that. Thank you very much. Tomorrow night, Rock, are you actually doing the Raw Post Show?
Quite possibly we might be doing a Raw Post Show, so stay tuned, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. You never know. I might be on by myself, or I might have a guest or two. Tune in and find out.
And then on Tuesday, Christmas Day, kids, depending on the road conditions, meaning it is minus 25 Celsius here and it's been snowing all weekend, I might not get a chance to get down to my sister's place in the High River. If that's the case, I'll be home alone Christmas. I just might throw on the player and play some music in the background with a virtual fire going on the JTV player. So if you got nothing else to do after you open up your presents and all that other garbage, you know, you want to listen to some music, put it on in the background.
Cool.
Wednesday, it's the Boxing Day edition, at least in Canada, because Canada has Boxing Day. And actually, so does Mace, will have Boxing Day because he's part of the his country's part of the Commonwealth. And those guys over in the UK, in the States, it's just like the day after Christmas. It's the day after Christmas edition of just another goddamn wrestling show.
Possibly. We'll find
Possibly.
Out.
We'll find out.
We'll find out when
Thursday, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio plays their Tuesday show on Thursday because of the Christmas thing.
Yes.
And, Alan is going to interview Cassidy Riley. See, look, I remembered, Lindsay.
Well, he's not actually interviewing Cassidy Riley.
Oh, he's going to talk about Cassidy Riley and be a fanboy.
They're doing a BCS Pick'em with Brad Allen, Cassidy Riley, Spug, and Danny Doring. By the way, go to CassidyRiley.net. Anytime you say Cassidy Riley, you have to say CassidyRiley.net.
Or you've got to take a drink.
Exactly. So
fuck it, I'll do both. CassidyRiley.net. Time to have a drink.
There you go. Plus, Alan's going to talk about an interesting occurrence that happened this past week in Florida Independent Wrestling. So check out Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, on a special day, Thursday night. Check it out.
Friday, will he or won't he? Tune in to find out. Johnny Cashmere's wake-up call. The guy ever gets out of his coma.
Maybe. Someday.
9 o'clock Eastern right here on the Wild Tiger Radio Network.
Maybe. Who knows?
You know what? You know what, Rock? If I tell you I'm not available for producing, he'll do the show.
Yeah. Guess what? There won't be a show.
Yeah, I won't be home Friday night, so.
Should tell him now. Anyway.
There you go. Saturday, CB Radio. Be there or don't.
We're going to do actually a show on CB Radio Saturday. That one we can count on. It's there. It's going to happen, CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish. You never know what we'll do.
But before that, the odds are good. You get to watch a really good independent wrestling show for free. So show up at 9 o'clock Eastern, which is 6 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Mountain Time. 8 o'clock Central.
And sometime
2 o'clock in the morning in the United Kingdom.
And what time in Hawaii?
Let's see, 7 minutes, 5 minutes, it's 2 p.m.
There you go.
You didn't think I could do it, did you?
Not that quick. Anyway, which means we'll be back next Sunday for another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
Yeah, well, it's Australia. It's the only one I have a problem with the time difference and the date change and shit like that. It's like you take what time it is now, add a day and subtract 5 hours or some shit. I don't know, I forget. It's too complicated. I've been drinking. Shut up.
Anyway, Lindsay, plug some stuff.
Follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWird. You can go to my DeviantArt, linswar.deviantart.com, and of course visit my website, psychwordscience.com, and go to CassidyRiley.net. Listen to him Thursday on Kayfabe as he defends his title as the BCS Pick'em Champion.
By the way,
that's all I got.
But if you want to submit your picks, go to our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork and submit your picks for the BCOs. Pick them. We'll take them on Twitter and Facebook or by email as well.
And thanks everybody for posting in the movies in the chat room. You basically just programmed the rest of my night. By all these movies that you listed and pick and choose and then put them up on the internet on my big TV.
Awesome.
Let's go. Say Merry Christmas. Let's hang up.
Good night, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new.
Am I the only one surprised that I'm making them pick Home Alone?
Well, it's a good thing he's not Johnny Cashmere. Might have been homo alone.
Really?
WildTalkRadio.com.
Oh, fuck, we were still streaming?